G'day everyone from the USA, time for another edition of Inside 50, more American than getting drug off a plane. Lo, the winter has passed, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. It's spring here in the Northern Hemisphere, and it's time to once again turn to footy. The 2017 USAFL season marks the 20th anniversary of the league, and who would have thought from a band of three or four teams 20 years ago that we would have almost 40 here in the United States, as well as the American footy program growing as much as it has, and even players playing in the AFL. This is a big year for the USAFL with the International Cup and, of course, what promises to be a big national championships at the end of all of this in October in San Diego. But before we get into this year, let's mop up from last season. I did intend to do an Inside 50 at the end of the 2016 season, and my apologies to you footy gospelers for not coming through on that. But in case you missed what happened at the Nationals in Sarasota, Florida, here is who won what. The Austin Crows took out the Division I flag for the third time in 4 years and went back-to-back, defeating Golden Gate 39-13. 18 wins from 18 games in 2016 for the Mighty Crows as they extend their win streak to 23 games and now have their eye on the 41-game mark set by Denver from 2004 to 2006. Golden Gate was also undefeated going into that grand final game. You can expect the Roos to be just as good in 2017. On the women's side, it wasn't all bad for the San Franciscoers as the Iron Maidens, the Golden Gate women's team, went 4-0, including a heart-stopping victory over the six-time defending women's national champions in Division I, the Denver Lady Bulldogs. San Francisco won 9-6 in that head-to-head battle, then defeated Minnesota to give Jess Estrada, Carly Smolak, and the rest of the San Francisco Iron Maidens their first win in their fourth try at the Cup. Men's Division II saw the Calgary Kangaroos defeat Columbus 39-3. The Jacks looked pretty good in this and actually may have even overachieved, but the Kangaroos, who very well should have been playing in Division I, took out Division II with relative ease. Over in Women's Division II was the combination of players from the Portland Steelheads, the Seattle Grizzlies, the Tampa Bay Football Club, and Arizona, defeating the combination of Montreal, Boston, Philadelphia, Des Moines, and Chicago, 46-8. For Portland and Heather Serpico, who had built up the Sockeyes team that was made up most of that contingent, it was a sweet win. The Portland men won as well as the Steelheads took out the Division III title with a 46-22 win over the North Carolina Tigers. The Steelheads became the first team to go back-to-back in Division III. Look for them to move up to Division II next season. The Ohio Valley River Rats took out their fifth Division IV flag in a high-scoring affair against the hometown Tampa Bay Club, who over the offseason rebranded as the St. Petersburg Swans. Ohio Valley winning 53-44, a combination of those first teams from the beginning of the USAFL, including Cincinnati and St. Louis and the Louisville Kings. The 2017 season looks to be chock full of action. It's already gotten underway with one game down in Nashville. More on that in a minute. Here is a look at the preliminary schedule. There are three regionals, just as there was last year, and the schedule looks like this. We'll begin in Little Rock, Arkansas, home of the brand new Little Rock Coyotes, on June 10th. 2 weeks later, we'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina, home of the North Carolina Tigers, for the Eastern Regional, and we'll finish up the home of the Denver Bulldogs on July 8th with the Western Regional. The league will break for the International Cup August 5th through 19th. The Revos, the men's team, the women's team, the Freedom, and the Liberty, the development team for the women, were all announced at the 2016 Nationals. There are 60 men and 60 women who will represent both countries. The Revos will be split into an International Cup side, which will go to Melbourne, and a team which will go to Europe in 2018. I, too, will be going to the International Cup. It'll be my first trip to Australia. I'm really excited about that. And as I mentioned earlier, the 2017 Nationals this year will be held at the San Diego Polo Grounds, just north of the city of San Diego. It'll be the first West Coast Nationals since 2005, when it was hosted by Las Vegas, and it'll be the first in California since the year 2000. There are two new clubs in the USAFL this year. As we mentioned, the Little Rock Coyotes in the center of Arkansas, founded by Central Regional Vice President Steve Granfield, and our first independent women's team, the North Star Blue Ox. They'll play out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they'll create a derby rivalry with the Minnesota Freeze. The Los Angeles Dragons also have a women's team, and they look pretty good as they have already had a dozen or so strong go to their practices in preseason. That means that all told, we have 14 full-fledged women's clubs, including the team in Philadelphia that just started up last year, with three in development: Chicago, Des Moines, and the Wisconsin Wombats, formerly known as the Wisconsin Indomitable Warriors. There were a couple of news stories that happened just a couple of weeks ago, the first of which was the untimely passing of USAFL goal umpire and USAFL Weekly Report host Alex Benjamin. Benjamin died suddenly on March 4th at the age of 48. He was a longtime footy fanatic, going all the way back to the ESPN days of the 80s, and goal umpired 181 games for the USAFL. He also was the host of USAFL Weekly Report since 2009. Alex was a friend of mine, and he will be missed. And I will tell you that it will not be the same at Nationals or really any of the other tournaments without him. Not long after that, another bombshell for the league is Dennis Ryan, the president since 2013, stepped down after four seasons. Dennis Ryan had a fairly illustrious history in the USAFL. He started as a player for the Baltimore Washington Eagles when he moved to Washington back about 15 years ago, and had no idea, in his own words, that he would be as involved in the game in the United States as he became. He served on the board for a time before becoming president, as well as the head coach and later assistant coach of the USA Revolution team. He's probably best known for developing the game of Ozball, a non-contact co-ed version of the game that predates AFL 9 by several years. Ozball was designed to make the game more accessible, especially to school kids, and Dennis traveled the USA for several years, going from school to school and pitching the game, teaching it to many youths in the USA. Taking over for Dennis on an interim basis is Mike Shepard, who has served as Eastern Regional Vice President of the USAFL since 2010. Shep was a longtime player for the Boston Demons. He still plays for the D's and is still part of their leadership group. In many cities across the USAFL, metro and co-ed seasons have already gotten underway, but the first inter-club game of the USAFL regular season took place at Elmington Park in Nashville, where the hometown Kangaroos were kicking off their 20th anniversary season against their rival, the Atlanta Kookaburras. Both teams swapped road victories against each other in 2016, and the Kangaroos were looking to prevent that in the opening game. It was a tight game after the first half that was blown open in the third quarter. The Kangaroos went home to win by 42 points. Cliff Nugget Cosnahan, the team's interim coach, kicked six goals to lead both sides, while Chase Trujillo added two to lead the losing Kookaburras. Final scoreline, Nashville 10 goals 11-71 to Atlanta 4-5-29. There are a boatload of games next week. I'll preview all of those, as well as a quick preview of the season, including each of the teams. I'm doing my annual write-up of all 39 clubs, men and women, this week. That should be out sometime late this week, early next week. You can check out that, as well as everything the USAFL has to offer, at our website, usafl.com. If you want to follow along with us on Facebook, you can at facebook.com/USAFL, and on Twitter at USAFL1997. And if you'd like to follow along with me on Twitter with my footy adventures, you can do so at BarishUSAFL. That's BarishUSAFL. One thing I didn't do last year with the lack of a season-ending broadcast was to thank Danny and Josh for giving me the opportunity to really let everyone know what's going on here in the USA and footy. I definitely appreciate it, and I appreciate your company as well. I'll talk to you next week. Until then, that's been Inside 50. This is Brian Barish for the Footy Gospel Podcast.